This Wednesday, or this past Wednesday, 2 days ago, at the Rotary Club, our coroner, Dr. Bo Clark, provided an update on the ongoing fentanyl crisis, the ongoing opioid crisis. That's not just here in East Baton Rouge Parish. It's everywhere. But here in EBR, it seems to hit a little bit harder than a lot of other places. Joining us now is Coroner Dr. Bo Clark. Dr. Clark, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks.
Glad to have you on this morning. So you provided the update for the Rotary Club. I wanted the same update for the Talk 107.3 listening audiences. Unfortunately, the story doesn't have a whole lot of improvement to it just yet.
No, it's actually kind of like the weather today. It's pretty gloomy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this has been going on for over a decade now. I first sounded the alarm on the opioid epidemic in East Baton Rouge Parish in 2012. At that point, what we were seeing was an emergence of heroin, which was a drug we hadn't commonly seen in East Baton Rouge Parish really in a long time, or if at all. That lasted through about 2015, when we kind of saw our first case of fentanyl coming on the market. And then since 2015, we've worked 1,067 fentanyl overdoses. Of course, that number's climbing every day as we get toxicology back. So essentially, at the beginning of this epidemic, it was heroin. Heroin went away. Fentanyl shows up. And the reason for that is because the production of heroin requires Mother Nature. You need soil. You need sunlight. You need precipitation to grow the poppy. Now, with fentanyl, you just make it in a laboratory. So the drug cartels are now pushing fentanyl across our borders, southern border, and into the hands of folks that are suffering from addiction disorders, specifically opioid addiction disorders, and they're dying as a result of it. And so the last 3 years, we have seen numbers up near near and around and above 300. To date, so far this year, we're at 242 deaths, overdose deaths. And really, about a week ago, we saw a trend where we had 8 people die in 7 days.
Goodness gracious.
And so that puts us on a trajectory to hit near around that 300 number again.
Along the way, the game has changed when it comes to fentanyl as well. I mean, there was a time throughout the opioid crisis where a lot of opioid addiction started very innocently. But now we're seeing that change. How has it changed?
So it's changing because the third evolution of this epidemic has been that now the drug cartels are incorporating fentanyl in all drugs. So you might have an individual who normally wasn't an opioid addict. Maybe they were abusing stimulants like cocaine or methamphetamine, or maybe even using marijuana. And now the drug cartels are putting fentanyl in those drugs. So an individual goes to buy what they think is cocaine, because that's been their drug of choice forever, and they get exposed to fentanyl. Of course, they're what we call opioid naive, meaning they don't abuse opioids, so they have zero tolerance. And if the opioid potency is enough in just that single dose, they can die. We've even had circumstances where people thought they were buying a prescription pill, maybe an Adderall or a Xanax or something of that nature, which are non-opioid drugs, and it's basically pressed fentanyl, and they have a massive overdose and die. So you would be real hard-pressed to find illicit drugs in East Baton Rouge Parish that are not adulterated with fentanyl. And that's really why we've seen these numbers grow into the 300s in the last couple of years. My major concern, of course, is, well, what happens next? Does 300 turn to 600? Does 600 turn to 1,200 with the more proliferation of fentanyl into the non-fentanyl drugs?
We're talking with Coroner Dr. Bo Clark about the ongoing opioid epidemic and where we're at when it comes to fentanyl. Dr. Clark, the Adderall and Xanax thing is very, very, it's alarming to say the least, because bear with me as I walk down this path. With a number of drugs where the person would be looking for a high, not necessarily a fentanyl high, but if they're buying marijuana or another drug, they're looking for another drug. But Xanax and Adderall, that's something different that's being sought. I mean, it almost feels like there would be intent to kill there if they're pressing fentanyl. I mean, if you're looking to sell fake Xanax, just sell a sugar pill.
Correct. And you would think, you know, and that's a very difficult concept to understand, intent to kill, because you have to prove intent to kill.
Right.
How do you know that the pill wasn't pressed in Mexico by the cartel or in South America somewhere, and then given to a low-level street drug dealer and told it was an Adderall. Maybe he didn't know he was selling the fentanyl. And that's what makes all of this, every bit of it, so dangerous, is because now you've got fentanyl that's in everything, or it's all fentanyl. And so the minute you decide to go buy that Adderall because, oh, I need my Adderall to stay awake or to study or whatever the scenario is, or you buy that Xanax because you've got a party you're going to and that's the substance you wish to abuse, then all of a sudden you have a massive fentanyl overdose and you weren't even expecting it.
Right.
So this is a slippery slope.
No, it absolutely is. And it's something that in the last legislative session, State Representative John Stefanski tried to tackle with a new law. On the first day that law took effect, you were at the press conference for that. Let's talk a little bit about the effects of that law, and are we seeing the effects of that new law?
I don't know that we've seen them yet because the judicial system runs a little bit slower than the legislative system. But you know, now that the judicial system has that stick, I think it's going to be enforced when it comes to the distribution of fentanyl. And no longer will fentanyl be treated by just another drug. It will be treated like the deadly poison that it is, meaning that, you know, I mean, we have laws and rules for people that stab someone or shoot someone, and now we have for the distribution of fentanyl. So I think it's absolutely a step in the right direction. It's just going to take us a moment for the judicial branch and the judicial system to catch up with what the legislative branch has done.
So the law passed, or the law went into effect on August 1st, and I apologize if I missed this by a little bit, but because I'm doing it off of memory. But the law basically states that if you are selling, or if you do have possession of a certain amount of fentanyl, that intent to kill is not necessarily implied, but will be added to the charges.
Correct. So what happens is you get charged for the drug possession, the drug distribution, and I think the sentencing is like 40 years. Yeah. But compounded with that, if there's a corollary to a death, then that plays a role in how the sentencing can be enhanced and or changed at that period in the court.
And the hope with this, and we're talking with the coroner, Dr. Bo Clark, about the opioid crisis, the hope with this particular law was to remove the argument of I didn't know I was selling fentanyl. If you're running the risk of the fentanyl was laced into it in Mexico and then came across the border then, well, I didn't know I was selling fentanyl, then get out of the Adderall business.
Right. And at the same time, it's also to recognize the fact that fentanyl is not different than a knife and it's not different than a gun. At the end of its use is a death, nearly every time. And a death may not come immediately. It may come after several uses, but that's ultimately what's going to happen. And so stop pretending like, oh, it's just a drug. It's not. It's something that kills you.
Speaking of which, I want to stick with that for just a minute. You say it might not kill you the first time, but it will. Do we have numbers on how frequently somebody has to go back to the well on whatever fentanyl-laced products they have or fentanyl itself before we see death?
We don't really. And the reason for that is because there's really no easy way to track that.
Right.
We try to track it through the use of Narcan, which is a reversal agent. So how many times first responders use Narcan? Mm-hmm. The problem with that is that fentanyl has become so prevalent, every time someone goes unresponsive, whether it be for a fentanyl reason or for any other reason, we're jumping to Narcan just as a last-ditch effort to try to save their lives. So there are people in the community that are getting Narcan for non-opioid-related things. It doesn't do anything to you. If you're not having an opioid overdose, you give somebody Narcan, nothing happens. But it's hard to say which Narcan uses are strictly opioid-related and which ones are not.
We're talking with Coroner Dr. Bo Clark about fentanyl and more broadly the overall opioid epidemic that we're facing right now. Dr. Clark, I've been hearing a lot in the news over the last couple weeks about a Frankenstein opioid. Do we have a whole new world to be worried about here?
Well, we always do. There's what we've seen a little bit here in East Baton Rouge Parish is the presence of a drug called xylazine, which is an elephant tranquilizer that is being mixed in with the fentanyl. Please don't ask me why, because I have no concept of why this would be done. But they're mixing two very powerful sedatives together. And so we've seen that. The other areas around the country have seen the drugs you're talking about that are make people act like zombies. We've seen all, not only fentanyl, but all the derivatives of fentanyl here. There's other drugs called carfentanyl. I mean, if you think fentanyl is incredibly, terribly dangerous. Yeah. They actually have variants of fentanyl that are even more dangerous than fentanyl. And so we've seen those, not in huge quantities, but we have seen those in overdoses here.
Did you say elephant tranquilizer?
Yes, yes. Essentially, you know, what's oftentimes is depicted kind of in the Jurassic Park movie when they are going to tranquilize the T-Rex. But in real life, what they're essentially depicting is a drug called xylazine, which is a veterinary drug that is used to tranquilize large animals like rhinoceros, hippopotamus, and elephants.
I ask about that just because, I mean, when the opioid crisis started, just like you said, it started with heroin and then shifted to fentanyl. I'm wondering, are we about to see the next shift?
Yeah. You don't know. It's unfortunate, but typically the shift is only recognizable after it's happened.
No, 100%. Now, I'm sure that, you know, drug dealers like to make money, so I'm sure there's a balance sheet there as to the availability and or cost of said elephant tranquilizer. But you see headlines about Frankenstein opioids. That's going to grab your attention.
Well, make no mistake, this is all about drug dealers making money. They don't care whether you live or die. They want to make money.
He is Coroner Dr. Bo Clark. We always appreciate the time. We always appreciate the update, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.